get right into this, shall we? If you clicked on this training course and this link, I'm so glad you're here. Because listen, you know, sometimes I always am listening to the boss for what to say to you. I can't just make it up. I can't just pick it from random. It has to be given to me. He has to show me what to do. Because that's the only thing I have confidence in to give to you. I never want to guess. And thank God he's helped train me and I've made sure I never have guessed. That's not a great place to be when you're like, I hope this is right. No, I can just stop and wait and hear what he has to say. So that's where we want to be. That's where I want to be. Now, regarding you, sometimes, you know, you get your own impressions on things and I have to continually, we all do, but for me personally, I have to let God, referee those impressions, you know, like say, hey, that needs to get adjusted or that's not exactly accurate. And one of them is, you know, I talk to people on a regular basis about what we're going to talk about tonight. And I was wondering, you know, maybe I've talked about it too much or maybe I need to take a break. And in this day and age, the Lord was helping me see, no, we need to talk about it more and regular. It is more critical now than it ever has been before. So we're going to get right into it. Anxiety, stress, the weight of things going on in the earth, the weight of and burdens of pressure, and the weight of trying to, how about this one? We may not even realize that it's anxiety or worry, but we may be struggling to try to figure out how to solve problems in our own mind. And we're just grinding that wheel. No answers are coming out and we're not getting better, but we're growing worse. And the problems just seem to get bigger and bigger. They're the same problem they were 3 days ago, but they just seem to get bigger and bigger. Let's settle this. The answers aren't in our own mind. If we could have gotten them from there, we would have. One of my elders in the faith, he bought some property many, many decades ago. And there was a big water tower on the property. And there was some acreage on the property that was unused. And you know, listen, we get in a financial bind. We start going to look for, you know, what can we do to solve this? And you know what we're looking for? What can we do to get out from underneath this cotton picking pressure? You know what I'm saying? And this stuck with me all these years, and God's brought it back time and time again. Because I'll tell you straight up, my wife, she had a, when I went into the ministry, she was still full-time employed and, you know, had a bi-monthly paycheck, nice paycheck, especially when we don't have a, you know, after we sold our house, we didn't have a mortgage. We were living with, staying with family up here in Tennessee and, nice paycheck. And, you know, so we were able to, you know, move and do things and have some comfort and, you know, and we didn't have to be concerned about certain things. But then in 2015, her firm, laid off all their remote employees. So in 1 month we went from great paycheck twice a month to nothing. You know, I was in full-time ministry. So, you know, I'm believing God for not only the needs of the ministry and for our church building at the time, but also, our income. And now that's got a whole lot more added to it. There was pressure. I was not very familiar with at the time. But God had been dealing with me. And I'm telling you this whole story to tell you this. God had been dealing with me for about, I want to say over a month, if not more than, coming up to that. See, I had decided that I was going to stick with him and trust him and live by trusting God or live by faith, as Romans chapter 1 says, for the just shall live by faith. I was going to do that and learn how to do that because that seemed to be the marching order for his best friends, was that we live by confidence in our God and our source and our best friend, right? So I had begun to look at this scripture. When I say look at, this scripture just kept coming back to me and back to me and back to me. I think about it when I wake up. It seemed like I think about it when I'm going to sleep. And it was Philippians 4:19. And it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so my wife and I, we went out into the front lawn when she found out, and we, you know, left the kids inside and got off by ourselves. And we have, you know, several acres to walk around on. We just got some privacy by getting out in the open. And she said, what are we going to do? And I didn't have the answer in my head. The answer was not in my mind. But I'll tell you this, there was an answer in my heart. And this came up, and I opened up my Bible, which I had happened to take outside with me, and I pointed to the verse. Oh, excuse me. I opened up my Bible on my phone, and I pointed to the verse. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to trust in God to supply all of our need. The answer to the problem was not in my head. The answer to the problem was not in our bank account. I mean, even if you qualified for... what were they called? Stimulus checks. Do you still have any of that money? You see what I'm saying? Just a chunk of money is only a temporary problem, a temporary solution to a long-term problem. No, we need a source. We need a person to trust in to handle the problem. Well, you know, trusting him for supply is not necessarily the main emphasis of the main effort of this topic, but I wanted to show you the principle. The answer wasn't in my head, but along with the answer of trusting him as our source, there was also all the pressure, all the worry, all, and I say the care, that's a Bible term, but you could say it like this, all the anxiety of what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's the what are we going to do that I'm trying to highlight right now in this moment, is that it's those what are we going to do questions that we get suckered into trying to answering in our own minds that end up perpetuating and increasing stress and anxiety and worry. Being worried about stuff, pressured about stuff. Before we get to our first waypoint scripture to look at, I want to look at you to look at a story over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just as we were getting started, the Lord dropped this in my heart. It's kind of a churchy way to say it. I had a signal that this is where we were supposed to go first, and that signal was down inside my spirit, in my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you can follow along in your Takata Bible app or in your hard copy Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." So he's saying we're not hiding anything that happened to us from you, and we want you to know about the trouble, that we were pressed out of measure. Can you understand what he's trying to say? Pressed out. You ever been squeezed? You ever been pressed? I can hear it in my heart. People listening to this going, yes, me. Me, brother, brother Duke, me. And not only have I experienced it, I am experiencing it. He said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. We had no answer for it. And we thought it was just going to squeeze us to the point where we were dead. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. What does that mean? We had an answer on the inside for this death. An answer came up within. It didn't come from our minds. God gave us an answer. If you remember in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 13, it says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, he guides us into all truth. What's that mean? Jesus said that he would send an indwelling friend who would stick with and live with us forever. The Holy Spirit himself. God's very own inward spirit. How's that work? You got me. I'm just glad it does. I don't have to know all the ins and outs of how it works to believe it. I just believe it. And I'm getting a little more light here and there all the time. But the point is, he sent us a friend and he's here. And one thing Jesus said in John 14, the 14th chapter, around the 23rd verse, 26th verse, somewhere in there, it says that he's going to teach you all things. He's going to teach you all things. So Paul's got this indwelling friend in him, just like you and I do. He said an answer came up within him, and it said that that answer was the answer to the death we were experiencing. And here was the answer, that we should not trust in ourselves. He didn't have the answer. His mind didn't have the answer. Their finances didn't have the answer. They couldn't reach into a bag and throw money at the problem. They needed a answer. And here was the answer. That we should not trust in ourselves. What we can do, what we can figure out, what we can pull on, our networking, what tree can we shake, who do we know, can we write some letters, can we hit somebody up for some money, can we get a loan? He said that we should trust in God, which raises the dead. And listen, if you don't think that the threat of death or impending death, you do have an experience, is something to be nervous about, you haven't experienced it before. But he said this was the answer, that not just to trust in God, but to trust in God that raises the dead, saying that, okay, maybe we do die, but he'll raise us up and we'll keep going and finish our... Do you see how it took all the fear out of it? He was remembering, hey, wait, the God we serve raised Jesus from the dead. The God we serve raised plenty of people through Jesus from the dead when he was on the earth. So maybe we get squeezed to the point of death, but he'll raise us up. He'll take care of us. We're not losing. We're not going under here. Do you see that? And it was this, to decide to not put confidence in their abilities and what they could figure out, but to decide to put confidence in God's ability and what he could do. And one of the things he does is he raises the dead. None of the lending houses and the brokerage firms that I know on Wall Street can raise the dead. No government, you know, the WHO, the CDC, the DEA, the NASA, nobody, ain't nobody raising the dead. God can raise the dead. Not just can raise, it says God which raises the dead. He said, so we're going to put our trust in him. Do you see it was a decision that they made? Thank God. Now look, it goes on. He said, but we had this sentence, we should not, or this answer to this death that we were getting squeezed by. And so he says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Man, that's awesome. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. So we got out of it. And it wasn't we who got ourselves out, but God got us out of that great death. And he's continuing to deliver us from death. And in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us from death, rescue us from death. Can you see this? This is, we put our confidence in him that he's doing this past, present, and future. He got us out of the problem. He's getting us out of more problems, and he will yet continue to get us out of more problems. Now, I want you to see this too. What got him out of all these problems? Trusting God who raises the dead. Putting their confidence in God, their source, and in God, their best friend. That's what got him out. That's what got him out. Notice, it was a very simple solution. We put our trust in God. And then what? And then he handles it. He gives us an open door. He settles the problem, whatever it may be. He fixes it. He handles it. Isn't that marvelous? We're constantly looking for what we can do to solve a problem. His was what we have in writing. It was one step. Lord, I decide I trust in you who raises the dead. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says that we that have believed, or we that have decidedly and confidently placed our trust in God, made a confident covenant commitment of taking our confidence and deciding that we put it in God, our best friend, that we enter into rest. That's Hebrews 4, 3. We that have believed do enter into rest. So wait, you mean just by deciding to trust God on the basis of something he said in the blood covenant, that gives us rest? That causes us to... Well, think about what rest is. It is ceasing from toil. The word toil is work with no payoff. It's struggling without winning. It's labor and effort that that has no finish line. It's just toil. You just never get there. I've heard stories about people getting caught in a riptide, not ripcord, but a riptide, in the ocean. And they struggle and they strain and they get tired. And they eventually, you know, either drown or get rescued. But they were fighting with everything they had but couldn't make any progress. And that's what I want. That's the definition I want to give to toil, is that you're struggling and straining with no progress. But rest is the opposite. Rest is, I put my confidence in God, and while I may not yet see on the outside with my eyes or with my feelings progress, I know that not only has progress occurred on the inside, I know I've got it. And now he's handling it, he being God, our best friend. You see what I'm saying? Praise God. Well, I want to go over here to this scripture. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Very short verse. Verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him. What? That sounds similar to putting confidence in him. So we're putting two things in him, really. We're putting our confidence in him to get us out, and we're taking all the... Now, care is a little bit vague to us. It's a little bit King Jamesy. I like what the Amplified Classic says, the AMPC translation, Amplified Classic. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. So we put our confidence in him, and we cast our cares, our anxieties, stresses, worries, you know, all that stuff upon him. Well, that sounds hard. How do I do that? You decide to. That's it. And you say, and you make the verbal delegation with your mouth. What do you mean verbal delegation? I decide, God, my best friend, I'm giving you all my care, all my worry, all my concerns, all this stress. I'm giving it all to you. Now, we still have a part to play. When he gives us an idea of what to do, we carry it out. When he gives us a thought like, hey, maybe I should just do this. When he gives you a strategy or an idea, an inspiration, that's another way to say it. When you just get inspired, like, you know what? It just seems like this doesn't really make sense to my head, but like the answer is to do this. Well, you got to do that. But you'll do it without being crushed by the burden and the worry. You understand what I'm saying? Without the weight of all that pressure and anxiety. Man. Well, he goes on to say this in the Amplified Classic, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Remember, we already learned that this is this person that we're trusting, this person we're putting our confidence in, and this person we're giving our cares and anxieties to is the God who raises the dead. Who's more qualified than him? There is a story in the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, in the New Testament, and in the fourth chapter. And the apostles, listen, this is still all so new, you know, Jesus has only been ascended into heaven and raised up only a few days prior. And so they, you know, pray for a lame man, and they lift him up, and he's healed instantly, and a crowd comes running. Well, they get put in prison, and the angel lets him out, and they get put in prison again. And they get threatened, and they said, you can't preach anymore in this name of this Jesus. And the apostles say, whether it be right in the sight of God to do that, you judge. But we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Whew. That's pretty stout talk. that's some courage right there. Well, they get threatened, and these weren't no idle threats. I mean, this is the same crew that crucified Jesus. So they go back to their crowd, and they tell them everything that the chief priests and elders had said and all the threats they'd made. And the whole crowd, not the apostles, the whole crowd lifts up their voice and said, God, you are the God who has created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. What are they doing? Well, When I say the word magnify God, the word magnify means to enlarge. Are they really making God bigger? Well, no, that's physically impossible. God's God and he's who he is, and they're not going to do anything in their, you know, in their own power to enlarge him. But he is getting bigger in their attention. And as they begin to pay attention to him, the God that they're in blood covenant with, the God that raised Jesus from the dead and created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. It's powerful. Well, let me tell you this. Some threats from some angry people start getting smaller and smaller when you talk like that. Oh, man. Let's let God make the problem get smaller. Not just handle the problem, but let's let it get smaller in your sight. In the scheme of things, is it really that big a deal? Is he big enough to handle it? Listen, he's the God that raises Jesus from the dead. He's the God that helped you find out that God had made you his very best friend. Think about all the logistics and the effort and the expense that God, your best friend, has used to get his truth into your life. He can handle some problems. Amen. And listen, it says he cares for you affectionately. Like, you're his favorite. And he says he cares about you watchfully. So not only do your problems mean something to him that they're yours and he cares for you, but he also wants to handle them. I was just saying this the other day to another misfit, one of our fellow misfits, yours and mine. And I said that, you know, in Christian church and in the church as a whole, there's many, many, many subcultures. And in some cultures, a lot of times they're influenced by surroundings and people and, you know, regional culture and things like that. Well, sometimes people think that if you really love and are really a person of love and compassion, that you'll worry. And it's a sign of love and compassion. And it couldn't be anything further from the truth. When he says, cast all your care, well, that would mean that to hang on to any of our care, we'd be being disobedient. We would be disobedient. There we go. And we would be decidedly and being disobedient to hold on to it. We would be being is right, I think. Anyway, we can settle English syntax at a later time. But we need to focus for right now. Delegating my problems, cares, worries, struggles, and concerns, and weights and burdens to the Lord, my best friend, is the most responsible thing I could do. Amen. Let me give you a clue. I mean, if you walked side by side with me in my kitchen or in my house or in my study, at least two times a day, if not more, something will come up, a thought, a concern, a problem. And my standard operating procedure, my SOP, is I take it to the Lord as far as like, hey, sir, show me how to handle this. Many, many times, he'll remind me right away. Cast all the care over on me. You're right. Yes, sir. Thank you. And here's what I'll do. Sir, based on this scripture right here, 1 Peter 5:7, I decide I cast all the care over on you. Well, does it work? Listen, I'm not looking for a feeling. I'm making a decision. He handles the transfer. I'm deciding to put it into his care. Listen, if I hold on to it, if I have it, he doesn't. And as God, our best friend, he's going to operate legally for everybody. He doesn't break the rules for anybody. If he did break the rules, the devil could accuse him of being unjust, and this whole thing's over. So he's going to be a best friend to you and a best friend to me. Part of that is just integrity and, we'll just use the word proper manners. He's not going to take something from you that you're holding on to. That would be being a thief or a bully or, you know, forcing you to give up something. He doesn't do that. Oh, God, take this from me. He's not going to take it from you until you give it to him. Right now, this is legally yours, and you've got to decide to give it to him. And listen, I've heard it. I've heard people say it to me, and I've said it to myself and to God when I was first getting started. Oh, that's kind of hard. No, it's just the feelings that feel hard. The decision is easy. You can make decisions independently of how you feel and how you think. You can decide, you know what, right now, in spite of all these tears and stress, I decide I give all this care to you, sir. And this is what my confidence is in. I believe right now that you've got the problem, you've got the care and anxiety, and I don't. Thank you for handling it. Well, in the same conversation I'll be having with the boss, I'll just say, and now show me what to do. Well, what happens if you don't see it in the first 2 minutes? I wait longer. I don't do anything till I know what to do. Sometimes, and I'll say this, a lot of the times, just giving him the problem to handle is enough. But there are other times I'll get an idea, something that'll come. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'll give that person a phone call, or I'll look this up on the internet. But I do it because he leads me to do it. For we are his sons and best friends, and we are led by his Spirit. Romans 8:14. And we can expect to have a signal and a leading and a witness to follow. It may not always be words, like a statement, like, you know, hey, Duke, look this up on the internet. It may just be an idea or an impression, but it's coming from inside where the Holy Spirit is. He's the only one in there. He's a safe guide. That's the leading of our shepherd. Glory to God. That's so exciting. Remember, John chapter 10 says that our shepherd leads us and goes before us. Well, then we can rely on what we get from him. Sometimes it's a statement. A lot of times it's just an impression or a witness or a signal. But it's him. And I'll wait and look for it. Because I've learned by now to not trust my quote unquote bright ideas. That's just a waste of time. I'm going to get his idea because it'll work. You follow what I'm saying? Let's go over and look at this verse. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 22. Again, follow along in your Bible or your Bible app. Psalm 55, 22 says this, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Ooh, glory to God. I know that's kind of a churchy phrase, glory to God, but man, it's in my heart. God get all the credit, glory, and victory shouts from this, man. Let him, yes, cast your burden. So look, we decide to do something first. That's give him, I like that word. It's very all-encompassing, burden. Now, did you notice in this verse and in 1 Peter 5, 7 verse that there is no caveats here? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Neither of these say, unless it's too big, or unless it's involving taxes, or unless this, or unless that. No, it just says cast them all. It just says cast your burden. If it's your burden, it qualifies. You can put it in his hands. I know that just helps somebody. I'm getting so excited. You can take your burden and you can put it in the Lord's hands. You can take your burden and you can put it in the Lord's hands. Now let's use Psalm 23:1 to translate this to give it some context and some more weight in a good way. Don't think weight because we've been talking about getting rid of weights. Give it some more gravitas. Cast your burden upon the Lord, your best friend and shepherd, because of whom we always have more than enough. Do you see what I'm saying? Cast your burden on your best friend. You're not being a burden to him. You're being responsible. And you're being an obedient friend. Listen, I've got some friends who I'm very grateful for that if they offered to do something for me and they were experts at it, and then I went and tried to, you know, basically do the metaphorical version of glue some popsicle sticks together, and they're master craftsmen, they'd be like, "Hey, what are you doing? I promised to fix that for you if you'd let me." Now, they're not, because they're my, you know, my close friends, they're not going to do it without my permission. They're not going to force it on me. But they want to help me. Listen, help forced on us isn't help. It's manipulation. You're forcing your will on someone else. God's not going to do that. You know why? That's not how best friends act. That's not how best friends roll. Well, in the same way, he's saying, give me that burden. What are you doing? Let me handle it. And then it says this. So that's our decision. Well, sir, I cast this burden on you. Do I feel it? No, you don't do it with your mind. You don't do it with your feelings. You do it by a decision. You decide, sir, I'm giving all this burden to you right now. And then look what happens. It says, and, so it's connected, he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. I paused for effect there. He shall sustain you. Why is it afterwards? Because now you have allowed him to. Well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. No, he can't. But yes, he is God. You know why he can't? He's not allowed to. John Wesley said this, the founder of the Methodist movement. He said that it seems that God is limited by our prayer life and that he needs someone to ask him. He needs someone on earth to ask him to do something. Wow. Why doesn't he just do it? Because that's what the devil does. He just tries to force his willy-nilly wherever he can. That's not how God acts. God is love. And love doesn't, yeah, thank you, Lord. Love doesn't act selfish. Love doesn't act like it's got main character syndrome. Where I'm the most important thing in the universe and everybody else just has to get out of my way. No, that's not how he acts. I like what Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 3. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and I'll make a meal and he'll eat with me and I'll eat with him." Glory to God. Well, notice, this is the risen, resurrected King of Kings tapping at our door, saying, "If you hear me and let me in, we'll have a meal together. We'll eat together like best friends and blood brothers." Well, hey, I volunteer right now. How about you? Yes, Jesus, the door is open. You are welcome in here. So notice, you cast your burden on the Lord and you've allowed him now to sustain you. And you put your confidence in that he's got your burden and you put your confidence in that he's sustaining you. Oh, it's marvelous, isn't it? It's marvelous. It's marvelous. You're letting God be a best friend to you and take care of you. Listen, I don't care whether it's stress or worry about dealing with a difficult individual on the job or at your office. Meeting with a tax attorney, meeting with an attorney, period, handling a court case, struggling with speaking in public. Whatever is burdening you, whatever is giving you anxiety, whatever is giving, trying to put stress on your life, whatever is causing worry to torment your mind, that qualifies. And you cast the care on the Lord. You cast the care on the Lord. I've had the Lord get my attention that I was just going around. You know, when I say going around the mountain, this is what I mean. Just stewing on stuff, just rehearsing it and rehearsing it, trying to sort it out in my mind. And him just, he didn't say, "What are you doing?" or make fun of me or anything like that. He just had a boom, like a ping, boom, go off on the inside of me, like a little warning light going, "Oh, yes." Well, that's part of his ministry, the Holy Spirit. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. That's in that same 14th chapter of John. Lord, thank you for reminding me. Yes, of course. I give you all the care. I cast all my care over on you about it. Hey, listen, I never said, the Bible never promises that we wouldn't get into a tight place or a place where we're, something's trying to grip us or squeeze us. And look at Paul. He's out in the ministry doing God's will and is pressed out of measure. But you know what? Jesus appeared to Paul one time in the course of his ministry and gave him a statement. Now, let me say, I said this to a misfit the other evening. On a private call, you can live your whole Christian life and never see Jesus face to face in a vision and be absolutely just fine. Those things aren't promised to us. He does them as he deems necessary. So don't stress about that, absolutely don't stress about it. But don't give any thought or concern to that. You just go on and enjoy your life with God, your best friend. Okay, but God did appear to Paul, and he appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him personally, and he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. Meaning, when I cast my care upon him, his grace is more than enough to help me be at ease, help get the job done, help sustain me and fix the problem. God can handle it. Got me? So when we allow him to have our problem, have our burden, have our stress and care, and we put our confidence in him that he's sustaining us, grace goes to work. We have opened the door to the grace of God. Well, what is a good definition of the grace of God? Well, for our conversation and our best friend, blood brother context here, blood covenant context, grace is God treating us like he treats Jesus as a gift. Oh. We didn't toil for it. We didn't earn it. God gave it because he wanted to do it. Amen. All right. How are we doing on time? Yeah, we got some time left. John, the 14th chapter. It's right after that 26th verse where Jesus talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus says this. How do you know it? It's in red letters. It says, peace I leave with you. I'm going away, so I'm leaving this with you. There's two things that Jesus gave us besides his words. He gave us his spirit, and he gave us his peace. Glory to God. Oh, sure, there's other things he's done since then that we found out about, but specifically these are mentioned. His peace and his spirit. He said, peace I leave with you. Now, I gotta run you through this, and you can do your references and search it out, and we'll hopefully talk about it more in depth later. So I can only just touch on it for a few minutes so we can stay inside of our budgeted time frame. In the 54th chapter of Isaiah, the Bible talks about how that I'll look it up for you. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. 145, here we go. He said this in verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you. The covenant of my peace. Well, one day I just had a It wasn't like a yay, verily, burning bush, thou shalt look this up. I just had an inspiration to look that up in some, Bible literature that I had, some concordances and things like that. And one of the words for that word friendship, and one of the main definitions, one of the main definitions for that word peace as it's used there is friendship. Friendship. So he says, the covenant of my friendship will not be removed, says the Lord. Again, put in Psalm 23:1, our best friend and our shepherd. We always have more than enough. Because he's our best friend and shepherd. Because he's our best friend and shepherd. So when he says, my peace I leave with you, do you hear what he's saying? The effect that comes from the tangible, calming, resting, at ease effect inwardly and outwardly that comes from being best friends with me, I leave with you. Well, how did he have it? Because that's what he had with his father. That's what he had with his father. Glory to God. Isn't that marvelous? He said, my peace. The calm and, man, I tell you what we got to do right now. Decide this with me right now. Use the technique Jesus gave us in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Just do this. Lord, I decide. Say it. I decide that I take it. I believe that I receive it. I have your peace. You know what he's saying here? He's saying the same tangible, calming effect and rest internally, the tranquility, the calmness that I get from being best friends with God, I'm giving it to you. We have his very own peace. Do I really need to ask the question? That we, could we use any of his peace right now in this day and age? We can use all of it that we can get. We most definitely can use his peace. There has never been an age where his peace is more useful, is more necessary, and more needed than right now. And it's not just peace and and some kind of, meditative nirvana. It's the calmness. It's the ease. It's the tranquility. It's the, how about this? It's the absence of torment and anxiety and fear. I've heard it said like this before from some of my elders in the faith. Peace is the manifest presence of God. Well, hey, that fits in perfectly. Peace is me enjoying the effect of God making us his very best friends in the same level and status that Jesus enjoys. How wonderful is that? So he says this, that my peace that I give to you is not as the world gives. He said this. Now, he gives us an instruction on how to cooperate with this peace. He said, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. And someone could say, well, it's easier said than done. But evidently we can do it, or else he would be unjust to say so. So that means we can make a decision no matter what we feel. No matter how under pressure we may be, we can make a decision. I let not my heart be troubled. Now, of course, there's going to be times where God's going to help you. And this has helped me, and I'll pass it on to you. Pray and ask him. Just say, sir, anytime I'm starting to get anxious, anytime I'm starting to get worried, anytime I'm starting to get overly concerned or allowing pressure to get to me, you and I may have areas of pressure and anxiety that we've just let, kind of creep in on us because it just seems so normal in this earth that we have no idea it's there. We've got to let him show us. We've got to let him show us. So ask him, sir, I mean, he's your best friend. Just treat him, just go at him straight, sir. Show me wherever I'm letting anxiety, care, and worry and pressure creep in on me, or dread. It's another one. Dreading something. Oh, God, I don't want to do that. Well, there's nothing wrong with what you're going to do. It's the dread of it. It's the dread of it. Say, sir, just show me. Help me here. Help me see. And when he reminds you or shows you, hey, that's care and worry. Hey, no problem. I cast all my care over on you. Amen. The Passion Translation of this same verse, John 14:27, says this: I leave the gift of my peace with you. He said, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. What's that? My perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Man, you and I have this peace right now. Say it with me. Believe it in your heart. Make a decision that you believe this. Say, I decide I believe this. I decide that I believe this. I have his peace right now. I've got it right now. Glory to God. Psalm 23:4 talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. For you're with me. And your weapons, your shepherd tools, they comfort me. The Amplified Classic says, yea, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. I'm making the decision to not fear because I know that you are with me. He said, your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. Isn't that good? Doesn't that just make you take a sigh of relief? Yeah, that's that peace coming up. Amen. The 37th chapter of Psalms 37, verse 3 says this: trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Notice what's first before all the goodies and all the perks and benefits go into effect. We decide to trust in him. We decide to place our confidence in him. It says, commit your way unto the Lord. So we've had casting care, casting burden, and now committing your way. But they all have the same context. I take this and I delegate the stress. I'm not turning it over to him like I'm abdicating responsibility. I'm giving it to him to handle. I'm saying, sir, I commit my way to you. You know more, you can see more, you can do more than I can. It says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's in verse 5. Let me read it one more time. I just like how it sounds. Thank you, Jesus. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Commit thy way unto your best friend and your shepherd. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7, and this is one of the main ones we wanted to get to tonight. Rest in the Lord, your best friend and your shepherd, by whom we always have more than enough. Glory to God. And it says, and wait patiently for him. Once you've put your care and your worry, once you've committed your burden to him, and once you've committed your way to him, just relax in him. Just relax, rest in your best friend and wait for him to handle it. Why? Because his covenant, Psalms 89:34, he will not break. Just let him handle it. What if it takes longer than a day? Then it takes longer than a day. What are you going to do? Yeah, it's a good thing that sometimes I think about, what are you going to do? Ugh, mess it up. So what are you going to do? I'm gonna let him handle it. So he says rest, though. Not stress while you're waiting. Rest while you're waiting. Why is that important? Enjoy your life with him while you wait. Boy, that helped me just now. I'd had some things recently where I had let the stress get to me a little bit. And in fact, more than a little bit. But he helped me see that I'm supposed to go on and enjoy my life and then just be absolutely content and happy the whole time. So he helped me adjust. And I said, sir, you're right. I cast all my care over on you. You're taking care of us. You're taking care of me. I'm enjoying my life. I decide I'm content. I'm happy as a clam. I heard a story from one of my favorite fathers in the faith. I've really leaned on a lot of his instruction and help over the years. Well, one of his fathers in the faith, back around early 1900s, he was a friend of his who he had prayed for and helped raise up off the bed of sickness, just miraculously, in old Victorian England. He was walking in his yard, and I say not just yard, but like beautiful garden, you know, at his estate, palatial home. And this man of God, I mean, he just had dire need. I mean, it was dire need. And he could have said one word to this English nobleman who was his friend and who he'd prayed for, and the man would have just, you know, wrote him a check and solved the problem. But you know what he said? He just walked through that garden and raised his hands to God and says, "I haven't got a care. I haven't got a care." But it sounds like he's lying, but he's not, because he's given all of his cares to God. They're not his anymore. They belong to his best friend, so it's his best friend's job to handle it, right? Now he can just enjoy being in the garden and just rest. Just rest, just rest. Amen. Well, the Amplified Classic says it like this: trust and lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. Oh, I like that. Verse 5 says this: commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him. And he will bring it to pass. Isn't that marvelous? Verse 7 says this, and I like this so much: be still and rest in the Lord. Be still and rest. Hey, listen, we rely on our friends and people around us from time to time. And if it was really, if we're really being honest, what are you doing? Hey, I'm leaning on you, buddy. I got to lean on you, buddy. And or I'm relying on you to do this. Remember, God's the best friend you could ever have. He is the best friend that I could have, best friend that you could have, and we do have him. And he has sworn to us that he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us, that he will never suffer his faithfulness or his reliability to fail us, and that he will, his covenant he will not break, nor allow or alter the thing that's gone out of his lips. This man, this person has the pure and perfect integrity. What do you mean integrity? You can put all your weight on him. You can put all your weight on him. I like what it goes on to say: wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Hey, let him take all your weight. Just lean on him. Just lean on him. I like what the Living Bible says. This is actually, it makes it very simple. Psalm 37:5. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. What do you mean by that? Sir, I cast all the care about this day on you. I cast all the care about my work schedule on you today. I cast all the care about this week on you. I cast all my care upon you right now about all of it. I cast it all over on you. And he said, trust him to help you do it, and he will. Well, how do I know he will? Because he just said so. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. I like that. I like that a lot. Here, just take this simple thought and statement. We are trusting and resting in our best friend. I like what the book of Philippians, Paul writing, says this in verse 6 of chapter 4. So this is Philippians 4, 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Careful, full of care, okay. How about we say it like this? Be anxious and fretful, or have anxiety about nothing. Well, that's not a nirvana state we accidentally fall backwards into. That is a choice. You decide, I decide I'm careful for nothing. He goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. He's saying, take everything, every care, and what you need to him and ask him. In verse 7, and the peace of God. And we just talked at length about the peace of God. The inward and outward tranquil state and effect of God's friendship with us, which passes all understanding, says, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll affect our heart. And hey, thank God, because this is where we need it so many times, so much of the day. It'll affect our mind. Doesn't having a peaceful mind, a mind full of quiet tranquility and contentment, that from the effect of God making us his very best friends, sound awesome to you? Yeah, it does. Well, we get that on purpose. I like what the book of Colossians says. It says it in chapter 3, verse 15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Notice it says let. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, how do I let the peace of God rule in my heart? You decide, and you say, I let the effect of God making me his righteousness, God making me his very best friend. You want to look up more about that? You can look up the scripture, Isaiah 32, 17. It says, the work of righteousness is peace. And it says that we make the decision. Well, we can make it together right now. So say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, you are my best friend. I decide right here and now, I cast all my care over on you. I believe you've got it. I'm resting in you right now. You're handling it for me. You're handling it all for me. I have your peace, and I let not my heart be troubled. I refuse to fear, and I let your peace. Say one more time. I let your peace rule in my heart. You've made me your best friend, and I've made you my best friend. And I thank you for it. I have all your care, meaning that you are caring for me right now. Amen. Isn't that good, man? Aren't you happy to hear that? Hey, listen, we love you and we appreciate you, value you so highly. This is why we do it and consistently put these things out. I want you to think about this. If you want to be a part of our team, be a part of our this misfit society and help. And I say be a part of it. This is what I mean. Helping get this out to other misfits one by one and all over the world. That's our mission, that there's so many of you and I out there who are craving to hear that they can have a clean conscience, a best friendship with God, peace in their life, and contentment and happiness. And it's real. They're craving to hear this with no toxic religion involved. If you want to be a part of that, I want to publicly thank our partners who are involved with us and thank them and thank God that he is blessing them. And as they've blessed us, God is blessing them. And if you want to be a part of that, you can go online to misfittoysociety.com and you can go to the pay it forward section and do whatever you and God are happy and excited about doing. Amen. Listen, I love you. And I'm so thankful that you're here. And God, your best friend, loves you. Enjoy your peace and enjoy an anxious, anxiety-free, and worry-free lifestyle. We love you, and we'll see you soon.